Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
So now here in chapter 5, the Bible is going to show us the ancestral line from Adam all the way down to Noah. And I usually skip long ancestral lines because, you know, Hebrew tears me up. So I usually skip these things, but I'm going to do this one. And you just bear with me, whatever it's going to be, good or bad, I'm going to do my best. Genesis 5, verse 1, the Adam family. Those of you old enough, you know what I'm talking about. And you're all smiling like, let's just get on with it, Ray. Okay, Genesis 5 and 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Okay, so before we explain this lineage here, we are reminded that even Adam has a father. He has Father God in heaven. So Father God, he created all mankind in his own likeness. But what does that mean to have the likeness of God? Well, I want you to take notice how it says that man, as in Adam, was made in God's image. Originally, the first man was created in perfect health and was not just subject to, and he was not subject to death at all. That was a different image than what we've got back then. The original first time I'm here, when man first walked, he had an image of God that was very, very different. He wasn't going to die. He was perfect. The image of God, it says, that refers to the immaterial part of humanity. That means that not the bodily, tangible, touchable things. The image means that we are created in the ability, with the ability to commune with our Maker. We can commune, we can talk and have fellowship with him. We have a likeness of God in our mentality, in our morals, and socially. Mentally, we were created to be rational. We have the ability to choose. We can make decisions just as God does. We have a will. God has a will. You see how you share that trait with the Lord God. We have a will. These are character traits that God shared of himself with us. We have intellect. We have the freedom to make whatever choices we want to make. This is why God even allows you the decision to sin or obey. Even though he's not pleased with your choices to sin, the very fact that you even have a choice and a will where you can decide what to do means that you are reflecting God's image. God makes decisions, so do we. That is how you have part of the image of God. Anytime you create something, anytime you write a book, or maybe you paint a picture, or if you go to Walmart and buy a goldfish and give it a name, or let's say you're calculating math equations, you're thinking and you're doing things and figuring, you know, you're exerting your will into these things, you are proclaiming the fact that you have been made in the image of God, because you are doing, exercising character traits of himself that he gave to you. So this is what sets humanity apart from animals. The self-proclaimed experts in science, they like to claim that we're animals, that we are animals, that we evolved from what Peter said are unreasoning animals, that we evolved from apes and all this stuff. Guys, this is why we're different from them. This is why God gave Adam authority over the animal world, because we are separate from them. We were created not as animals taking millions of years to evolve. We were created as mankind, it says. We didn't evolve from those progressive posters that you see where the ape is walking hunched over and we get straighter up and straighter up until finally we're a man. It took umpteen jillion years to do it. That is not true. Evolutionists defy God's word of the creation account. You did not evolve from that. And it's sad that I even have to say this part. But God's word says he created them male and female. He created them that way. There is no such thing as a non-binary. I didn't even become aware of that term until a year ago. It's pathetic what people are coming up with. When God created you female, you are female. When God created you male, you are male. There is so much God-hating bullcorn out there, I will call it, that's trying to make you disbelieve the pure truth of God's word. Don't let that stuff have you. Don't let anyone sway you with their wicked agendas. God made them male, and he made them female, and that is it. God's word, period. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Okay, I don't need to get in the arguments of all the other crazy stuff going around. I'm going with God's word. I ask you to come with me in that, okay? But it says God made us in his image. He didn't make us in the image of an animal. We were created male and female, and the reason he did that, and here we go, hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, God created couples, male and female, to procreate in heterosexual relationships. I am not being political here. Please don't say, oh, Ray got political today. I am not getting political. I'll tell you right now, politics today is a new false god. It is a new religion that's making people disbelieve what God's word says. Be careful of that stuff. It is very pushy. They bully people. They're angry and they're hostile. That right there ought to tell you there's something wrong. But this is for procreation, heterosexuality, male and female. Adam and Eve started the human race. I'm not being political. I'm not being Democrat or Republican. I just have to state the truth of God's word here as he wrote it, okay? I know in our culture, oh my gosh, this makes people heated. If I had said this 20 years ago, nobody would have cared. Look at how far our world is sliding down. Isn't that something? Take it up with God. I'm not the one that wrote it. Don't send me emails and angry cornerings in the back of the building after church. I didn't write God's word. I'm just making you take a look at what it says. As a pastor preaching God's word, I am required to engage the scriptures as they are stated without compromise. Amen. Genesis 5 verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years. Oh my gosh, that's old. We ain't seen nothing yet. 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Okay, so we saw God made man in his image. Now we have that again with men. And so now flesh has begotten flesh. Okay, I want you to pay attention to that word begot right there. If you have an underliner highlighter, I want you to highlight begot there in verse 3 because it's a very significant word. So flesh has now begotten flesh. The image has been passed from Adam to Seth. Just the same like how we saw God passed his image into us. Okay, so again we see that there are capacities and qualities and character traits of a parent are now passed down to the children. Another point I want to make is that Seth was not created different from Adam. He was made just like him. And that's why I wanted you to pay attention to the word begot, is made just like him. Again, science wants you to believe that we were originally created as subhuman animals. If we were created in God's image and evolution claims we were created as apes, then that means science is claiming that God is a subhuman animal, and he's not. We were created just like him. God is not a subhuman. Evolution claims that God is a subhuman animal who created us like him, and so that means, according to science, we evolved up past God to be better than he is. Okay, if he created us in him, his image, that means he's an ape. God's not an ape. Science is claiming we pushed past God to be these awesome humans that we are today. We are superhumans that don't need God anymore because we have now exceeded God. No, we were created how we are. OK, okay? In God's image. We were created from day one in God's image. If anything, we didn't evolve up because of sin, we evolved down. So just like Seth was in Adam's image from day one, how Adam was in God's image from day one. So I know I'm tearing very deep into each verse, but it's all very good observation. You'd be amazed what you can get out of one single verse if you will really, just really look at it. So I want you to pay close attention to that word there that I showed you, the word begot, because it means that Adam and his son Seth are the same. They are of each other. They are made of the exact same thing. Matter of fact, I've got pictures of my dad when he was younger, about my age. We have the same haircut, and we look the same, and there have been some people that thought that was me in the picture. I remember when I was in high school, somebody showed a picture of my dad when he was in high school, hanging around a bunch of cheerleaders because he was captain of the football team. And they go, "Ray, I didn't know you played as a captain on a football team." I said, "I didn't." And they said, "Well, there's a picture right there." So that's my dad. That's not me. So you can see that they are begotten. Seth was directly of Adam himself. And it's very significant to pay attention to that word begot or begotten. Because if you look at John 3:16 in your Bible, it should say that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. If your Bible does not have that word begotten, sometimes people ask me, "Ray, what Bible version should I go with?" I said, "Well, look up John 3:16. Is begotten there or not?" And some people go, "I don't see it." I said, "Get another one." There's some Bibles that have removed that. The word begotten has been removed as a missing word because now your Bible is missing a lot of content. If you see John 3:16 and begotten is not there, be careful. There's some Bible versions out there I will not carry with me because they've had a lot of words. They've had entire verses removed from them in order to water it down or to change significant messages from God. I learned that in Bible college. We were shocked. Everybody came in with a different Bible version, and the first day the professor said, "Okay, look up this verse and read it to me." And half the class could read it and half the class couldn't because it wasn't there. Begotten, though, is very, very important word that you need to make sure is in your book. Genesis 5 and 4 says, after he what? There it is again, begot. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he had sons and daughters, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. You thought 100 and something was impressive. 930 years old. Okay, now the Bible has set before us the ancestral line we're going to see from Adam to Noah, but I want you to look at how instead of getting a direct link from Adam straight to Noah, the Bible somewhat did an interruption. We didn't cover all the way through. We got a death thrown at us here. It says, and he died. That's something I want you to pay attention to. Typically, when I look through a genealogy list, this is the son of that, that's the son, the son, the son. This was the dad, that's the son, that's the son, that's the dad, all that. But we go, whoa, what? And he died. Did y'all see that? Well, usually I don't see that in genealogies. And he died. This is significant here that Adam died. I want y'all to remember what Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. There you go. A wage. What is a wage? A wage is something you earn. That means you earned it. That means you put in the work to get it. Adam and Eve, they sinned when they ate off that tree that God told them specifically not to eat from. So this means they literally put in the work that was required to earn the wage of death, and so have you and I. We have all put forth whatever work was necessary to achieve this death. Okay, that's the bad news. Don't worry, I got good news later. But that's the warning that was given to Adam and Eve before they ate. They said, you do this, you're going to die. And so we do see here, physically, Adam died. He's gone. Had Adam and Eve not sinned, had they been perfect, like they were, and not sinned and not passed sin into the world, Adam and Eve would be alive today. Imagine that. That's incredible. But he died. He didn't die by a murder like what happened to his son Abel, but this was a natural death. Saw the fact that Adam lived a total of 930 years. And right here, this is where a lot of people will say, oh, that's baloney. And they stop listening to God's word. There's no way. There's no way anybody could live 930 years. And then that's when they go back to the unbelieving science world. Guys, I love science, and I love the fact that we've landed on the moon and send probes out to other places. And what's funny is that the reason they're sending all these incredible things out there, and I love seeing the pictures, but they're trying to find other life. I can tell you where you can find other life. It's eternal life in Jesus, okay? Problem solved. I like science. I love it. But if science can claim that nothing created nothing and did it all by itself, then it's a whole lot easier to believe that Adam lived to be 930 years old. Okay? We have to remember that the earth was not corrupted and polluted like it is today. Back then, before the flood of Noah, there was a layer of water in the sky that we don't have anymore. When you read the flood account, it said that it didn't just come from above, it, water also came from below. So there was this huge, there's basically an ocean in the sky. That you, I don't know if you could see it or not. Maybe the sky was a different color instead of blue like it is now, but there was a whole layer of water above our atmosphere that is gone today that we don't have anymore. The atmosphere was different. The air had higher oxygen levels at that time. Have you ever heard of a hyperbaric chamber? They put people in these chambers and they increase the oxygen and it lets oxygen get into wounds a lot easier and it makes them heal faster. Well, the whole world was like that at one time. It was like this chamber. The oxygen content was a lot higher before the flood. Life produced faster, better. People lived longer. And produce, your gardens would grow. You probably had tomatoes the size of watermelons. Did I just say that? You had tomatoes the size of basketballs. They were huge. I mean, it was incredible what happened back then in that day. So how else could it affect people? The fact that God was procreating creation and blessed them. And so, yes, Adam did live to be 930 years old. Of course, we can't do that today. We lost that layer up there. The world is so full of sin, it's not like it was. Adam made it to 930 years simply because God blessed Adam and many people after him to be able to procreate. They had to live a lot longer to get that big humanity jump start to procreate humanity on the earth, while at the same time learning how to have a close relationship with God. People lived a lot longer back then in the pre-flood, before the flood happened. Genesis 5 and 6. Seth lived 105 years and begot, there it is again, and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years. There's another long life, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. There's the curse again. All right, you're seeing begot. And you're seeing death, okay? Verse 9, Enosh lived 90 years and begot Cainan. After he begot Cainan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years. And he died. I'm just making emphasis. You got to remember that curse is working, that curse of sin. Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Cainan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Y'all say it with me, you might as well, you're catching on. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Okay, I just want you to remember, this curse is there, and we still have it today. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and had sons and daughters, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he died? Uh-oh. Look at this. Y'all, ooh, here it is. Watch this. And he was not, for God took him. Oh, here it is. When I first read this, I'm like, what am I going to do? And I saw that and went, boom. Boy, I had y'all going. Y'all are just waiting for the next one. And he died. I'm going to say it. Uh-oh, he didn't die. Uh-oh, what's going on? Interesting how we have all these ages before these men died. Ages 912, 905, 910, 905 again. But then Enoch lived only 365 years, and it doesn't say that he died. It says Enoch walked with God, and then one day he was not. I mean, suddenly he was just gone because God took him. Oh, wow. One day God just whoosh and took him up. Enoch was so close to God, though. He was so close with the Lord. Now, you know, I got to thinking, haven't I seen this in somebody before? Have we not seen this with another guy that would have the same thing happen to him too? I think I saw another guy do the same thing, and it was 2 Kings 2:11. It says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He's gone. Doesn't say he died. Okay, what's going on here? Do we have anything to capitalize off of? Oh, yes, we do. But in all of human history, throughout all biblical text, only two men have been taken off this earth without dying. Enoch and Elijah are the only two men who have been directly taken off this earth while they were still alive. Now, there's a reason for this, but I'm going to come back to it. Oh, you got me all pumped up, Ray. Just spill it now. I'll come back to it. I promise. But I'll come back. I just want you to take particular notice how Enoch walked with God, very important. And then suddenly God took him. He did not die, nor did Elijah die. Genesis 5:25. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. Man, I was expecting y'all to hit me with that one. Nobody said it. You're still shocked that these two guys didn't die, but Methuselah did. So now we have the curse back. Now, Methuselah is a very special man. He's the oldest man who ever lived. 969. That's almost 1,000 years this man lived. If you ever have seen one of those biblical timeline posters, you ever seen one of those? I'd love to hang up one. It would probably go way around. You can buy these timelines as this huge poster. They're real long. If you hang one up, it'll probably go around one wall, turn the corner, and take another wall because they're very, very long. And if you ever see one of those, try to find Methuselah's name on it. I'll give you a hint on how to find Methuselah's name in the human history timeline. I'll help you. The reason for looking for Methuselah's name is that Noah's flood hits the world right after he died. Right after Methuselah died, the flood hits. Very fascinating. I've known some theologians before these posters that come out. My dad was one of them. He was doing research, and he started charting these people's ages and historical events out. And he says, Ray, come here, look. He rolled this thing out on the table. He goes, look at this. Methuselah, he died at 969. That's right when the flood hit. He was just absolutely ecstatic about it that he found this.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for